it. Oakley.
Night.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
It's schön. It's schön.
I shouldn't have played that. I think that's a moving commercial. Actually happened, inspired by true events, but kind of puts you in, kind of, commercials, I was looking to try to find a commercial that everybody could really relate to this morning, a Christmas commercial that expresses the joy, the wonder, that takes you back just for a moment and lets your heart feel a little excitement when you think about that. Like when someone sneaking down the stairs and sees a Christmas tree. But I thought the commercials that inspired me, I don't watch commercials anymore, so I have no idea what inspiring commercials are anymore. But I think it's really good for us to, once in a while, look back on things and just get that emotion, that little feeling that comes up once in a while. It's interesting, I have when I learned to scuba dive when I was just in the end of my high school years, and it was so exciting scuba diving. At the end of my high school year, I went with two friends, and we went down to the Key Largo, Florida, and then we took a little boat down, and we went out about 6 miles out and scuba dove on Molasses Reef, which is just, if you've ever seen the old, if you see any pictures of documentaries or Jacques Cousteau, who was really cool back then, it was just, you see what it's like on TV, especially back then, TV was real little, and when you literally scuba dive, it is just unbelievable. The first time you hit the water, all the bubbles are, and you look 30 feet down, 40 feet down, and it is just magnificent. The colors are unbelievable. The amount of fish, the amount of living things in the water, it just, your heart just goes, wow. You know, it's just like, this is better than TV. It's just amazing. And you just float there and go down and look under stuff. And I know some of you guys scuba dive and stuff, and it is amazing. So each year, about every 2 or 3 years, we go down there. And each year, then I taught my family to scuba dive. And we would all get in and, you know, take the tanks down and scuba dive down there. And everybody in our family has dove down there. And it's just amazing. And so we would do that year after year. And it's interesting, this year we went down and the end of June. And we took our scuba equipment down and everything. And we didn't even scuba dive. You know, it's like, come on, I'm floating right over the reef, you know. We snorkeled and stuff, but scuba diving, it's awesome. But once you've seen it about 10 times, it's like, all right, so then we get to a wreck dive, you know. We go out a little bit farther, 120 feet or whatever, and find this wreck, a really cool wreck, and we dive on it, and there's this big grouper that could suck you into its mouth in the hallway of a sunken ship out there, and Bob goes up to it, you know, he's like, 10 feet from it, you know, and there's like fishing lines hanging out of its mouth because everybody tries to catch this Goliath grouper, and it is awesome, and you're down at the bottom, and, you know, the propeller's bigger than Nate, and just, it's just huge. We didn't even do a wreck dive this year. We just thought about it and said, nah, it's probably not worth the time. Let's catch lobster instead. And so we didn't even do that. It's amazing, you know, kind of get there, been there, done that, you know. It's still cool. It's still exciting. But it kind of wears off after a little bit. And there's a lot of things like that in life. You remember some of the toys you got when you were a kid, you know? You probably still don't play with them unless you're like, you know, anyway, I don't play. You know, I mean, the BB gun was awesome till you shoot someone's eye out, you know? And you know, then after a while when you get to be teenagers, you shoot each other with the BB guns, you know? Just don't do that at home. Anyway, but my boys would have never done anything like that. But after a while, the BB gun kind of wears out, the 22, and the 22 kind of gets old, and you kind of go up there, and now you have, you know, assault rifles and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you have cars, the cars you got. Now, cars, unfortunately, the cars themselves wore out, all right? It'd be really cool to have my, you know, 68 Dodge Charger back, you know, but it's gone now, but, you know, but sometimes, you know, the things that are real exciting, you're going to get it, after you have it for a year or two, it's not as exciting as it was, and then, you know, remember how amazing, you guys that were older, remember how amazing and awesome your parents were. You remember that? They could do everything. It's my dad, you know. He's coming into my school and going to tell me about his job, you know. By the time you get to junior high, it's like, Dad, don't come in that day, you know. And, you know, your parents are so amazing, but after a while, you know, they're just regular people, you know. And the awe kind of leaves. You still like them and you still love them, but the awe kind of leaves. And how about your spouse? I don't even want to go there. Remember the first time you met her? I saw Vicky come running down that hill at Circle K camp when she was 12 years old. 10. I should have remembered that because she ran in slow motion with her hair flowing back and her arms open wide to me because I was 13. I still feel mostly like that. All right, but sometimes when I get home from work and see her coming towards me, it's not in slow motion, you know. And you know, sometimes you want that back. You want that back in life. And it should be that way with all these kind of things. And then Christmas comes along. And it's like, if I were to have you raise your hand, how many of you guys are really thoroughly looking forward to Christmas? A lot of young people would raise their hands, thank you, and a lot of older people wouldn't, because Christmas is kind of a hassle. It's a lot of stuff that happens. We've let it become, and we've had it year after year. Wouldn't it be cool to have Christmas back the way it was when you were 6 or 8, and the anticipation of it coming back? You know, all the songs and getting ready for it, the memories, the commercial. You know, I'm not sure what happens to all these things in our life, but there's a law of diminishing returns that happens, you know. The first time it's awesome. And then after a while, you kind of get used to it. It becomes a normal thing and you get used to it. And you've got to do more and more to make it exciting. And we've tried this with Christmas and a lot of different things. Or maybe it's the law of diminishing returns. Maybe it's familiarity breeds contempt. I don't have any idea. But somehow we start to lose that anticipation. Our heart seems to lose that sense of wonder about a lot of things, you know? We're familiar with stuff, so we don't have that sense of wonder. Wouldn't it be cool to get that back at Christmas? And that's what all the songs and that's what all the shopkeepers and storekeepers think, and they place it around what's about gifts and stuff will make you feel really cool. It's about a diamond, which would not make me feel good because they're too expensive. But, you know, and different things like this. Wouldn't it be cool to get those things back? We seem to have lost our sense of wonder with Christmas as people, and especially as believers in Christ who go through the Christmas season every year. And this is one of my hardest things. Christmas and Easter are my hardest things as a pastor, as a teacher, to express these things in a way that we regain some of that awe and some of that wonder, some of that, you know, that sense of wonder about God, about Jesus, about this whole time of the year, about Jesus' birth. We get wrapped up in all the buying things and decorating and all the hassle and hustle and bustle, and as we get older, it'll happen to every one of us. And how can we get that sense of wonder back? And so my job, my goal is we need to remind ourselves each year who Jesus is and why his birth is so marvelous. And it's not because our mind doesn't know that. It's not because we don't know why Jesus was born and how amazing it is. I think we've lost our sense of wonder about that. We've become so familiar with it. It's not because my mind doesn't know it. It's because my heart ceases to be amazed at the things that happened this time of year, of what the birth of Jesus Christ into this world meant. And one person that I want to read about it is in Luke 1, 46 to 47. This happened to Mary. An angel came and said, you're going to give birth. And she was a young lady, 13, 14 years old, maybe. She was a young lady, and how can I haven't known any men? You know? And God told her what was going to happen, that she was going to have a baby through the Holy Spirit, and he was going to be the king of the world. He was going to be Jesus. And she got done, and she went to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. And this is what Mary said in the beginning of a song that she wrote. Mary said, you got to understand the sense that she was going to have the Messiah. They've been looking for this Messiah forever. And all of a sudden, she was going to give birth to the Messiah. And God himself, in the form of an angel, told her, and her song starts out, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Wouldn't that be cool to go into Christmas season with that thought? Where your soul glorifies, or my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. When's the last time you went into Christmas and went through the Christmas season with that? How you doing today? Oh, my soul glorifies the Lord. Can you keep that quiet in school? You know, don't say that at work. But to the point where you can't contain yourself. Now, I don't think that many of us are going to get to that point because of my messages this Christmas, okay? I don't think I'm going to quite get to that point because of my messages this morning, but it is really good. What I'd like us to do, I'd like us to really ask God to change our heart and ask God to help our hardened hearts. And I don't mean hardened because you're living in sin. I mean hardened because we're just used to it. You know, we're just so familiar with the Christmas story. It's okay. It's a Christmas carol. It's Christmas stories. How can we get some of that back? So really, over the next 4 weeks, that's my goal. And I have to honestly admit, it's a selfish goal because I don't care about you getting it back near as much as I care about me getting it back, okay? I really want to get it back altogether, okay? But how can we step up our hearts a little bit? How can we get our hearts engaged in this till we can say, my soul magnifies the Lord. So when Christmas morning comes or Christmas Eve or Christmas morning comes, we can say, honestly say, wow, this is when it happened. This is the day that we're remembering that changed everything in history. Wouldn't it be nice to be that enthralled with Christmas this year? And is it even possible? Is it possible? Now, here's something that's way out of my comfort zone. We're entering, and Abby suggested this today with the beginning of the Christmas season. The reason it's the beginning of the Christmas season is because we're entering the Advent season. Advent. How many of you guys celebrate Advent in your churches before? Churches you used to go to. Okay. Some of you guys, I never did. I grew up in a really good Bible church, but we didn't celebrate Advent. We didn't, I don't think we lit the Advent candles or any of that kind of stuff. Now you see there's no candles up here, but maybe next year we'll get into that. But this year I had to look up what the word Advent meant. Okay, I knew it had something to do with Christmas and stuff like that, but I'm very unfamiliar with Advent. I kind of steered away from that because that seemed to be some of the mainline churches. It was always that, always that, always that. It got to be a ritual, you know, but I wasn't there, but I've just heard, okay? So I really want to change my own thinking. I want to look at the Advent season. So we're going to look at some of these things, and I'm going to take you through some of these things just to help me remember, because for me, it's new. Okay, and it would be really nice. Advent is really, it's the four Sundays before Christmas, and so Advent means coming. Okay, another definition I found I love this definition. It's a season of expectancy, a season of expectancy. Now, I see the Advent means coming. Jesus is coming. Okay, I've known that forever, so that doesn't stir my heart. But a season of expectancy, that's what I'd like to have back. I'd like to have that expectancy. You ever have expectancy about anything before? Expectancy? I remember when I was wee little, I lived in a trailer. And I remember in the trailer park, and I remember my parents, it was Christmas, and they never set up a Christmas tree or anything until after I was sleeping Christmas night, okay, Christmas Eve. Then they set it all up. And I remember thinking, it's Christmas. I remember going to the window when I was real little, and they told me Santa Claus was coming. If I'm still awake, I'm not going to say, you know, he's not going to come, when, you know. So I remember, like, looking out that little window that cranked open, you know, and thinking, looking at the sky before I laid down on the bed. And, you know, then I would lay down on the bed, and it's like, oh, you know, I'd get up in the morning and walk down the hallway, and it's almost like a commercial. You walk in the living room, and there is everything that wasn't there the night before when I went to bed. And it was like, I had that sense of expectancy about Christmas. And, you know, I look at it kind of like, and a lot of women might be able to relate to this, although I can't. Well, I'm not a woman. But having a baby, you're expecting that. And there's something about the woman carries the baby for that. They're much closer than when Vicky carried our kids. She seemed to be much closer when they were born than I was. I was like, ooh, you know? You know? They came out hairy with beards, you know? But Christy, too. but I won't say a second service. She'll be here then. But I'm in trouble. Anyway, but what I would really like to get back is that expectancy. That's what I'm looking to tell myself. I need to expect this. I have this expectancy, this sense of awe is what I'd like to get back this year. I'd like to take you along with me in that if I could. And I know some of it's going to, you're going to have to make yourself, you know. You're just going to have to decide, I'm going to see this brand new again. Even though I've known this, I just want to see it brand new. And tell your heart. You control your heart and your brain. Tell them, we are going to expect and we're going to get a sense of awe and wonder this year. Now, it won't be like a fantasy Christmas morning or something like that, but just let's do our best to get out of our familiarity with what's going to happen. And let's see what God can do with that in our hearts. Because you guys are doing so well. You're growing in the Lord. You guys are sharing Jesus Christ. You're looking for ends and all this kind of stuff. And now we have the event happens that changed the entire world. This is the biggest remembrance that there should ever be on this world. Well, in Advent, the first Sunday, if we were light a candle, the first Sunday would represent hope. Okay? And I really think it's like, whoever made Advent up did a pretty good job with it, all right? And hope, I thought that's really great. You know, what is the hope about Christmas? What is the hope about Christmas? Anybody want to venture a guess? What is the hope about Christmas? God's going to complete what he said he's going to do. Excellent. The Messiah is coming to rescue me from eternal death. Now, if you were in prison if you were actually could feel the bondage of sin and death hanging over you as a death sentence, and you're on death row, and you know that there was someone on their way to save you at just the last minute. You ever see that when on TV when someone's getting hung and you know that Zorro is out there? You know, and they're about ready to pull that lever, the hands on the lever, and then you see Zorro, you know? Or Gandalf shows up on the horizon with thousands of warriors when you're just down to the last minute. That expectancy, and you look, and there's Zorro, and all of a sudden your heart lifts. Well, this isn't a make-believe. Jesus, God Himself, Messiah, came to rescue me from eternal death and, may I say, damnation. And that's not a country on the other side of the world. All right? That I was going to be, excuse me, damned to hell for all of eternity because of my sins. And I was on the verge of that. And at the right moment, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Romans 5, 6. Romans 5, 6, picture this. Your head is on the block. The noose is around your neck. It's about ready to drop. And Satan's about to have victory over your life and say, we're taking someone else to hell. Yeah! And he grabs the lever. In Romans 5, 6, you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time. He didn't just flip through a thing and say, well, when should I go to earth? Let's wait till the weather's good. Check the weather channel. At exactly the right time, planned out from the beginning of the world, planned out, this is the time I'm going to come. At just the right time, I picture Tarzan sinking in quicksand. All his hand is sticking up, and Cheetah hands him a vine. Tarzan goes way back. So, I mean, not a cheetah. What's his? No. Anyway, some animal gives him something. An elephant gives him his trunk. Who cares? I should have skipped that anyway. We got enough illustrations. The point is, I was dying in my sin. And at exactly the right moment, someone told me the message of Jesus Christ. At the exact right moment in history, God entered the world in the form of a baby. See, what was happening in Isaiah 9, extended passage, Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. Listen to these two first things. The people were walking in darkness, having seen a great light on those living in the land. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. This is about Jesus coming. A great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. This is really, really good news. Because every single one of us was lost, and all of a sudden, there was a light that appeared. We were all lost in darkness. The Bible says, wandering in darkness, not knowing where we were going. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest. Picture this. Jesus came. This is the expectancy. This is the hope that God brought. A light came. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors has been broken. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be the fuel for the fire. This is what happened when Jesus came. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Picture this. You are lost. You are about to die. You are about to perish for all of eternity. And a light appears, and the noose is cut. The captors are defeated. They are locked in hell for eternity unto us because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is what Christmas is about. And we forget, because we think we get caught up in our life and we're successful in our business, and because we have a successful church, that we don't need rescued. And the more we think we're successful in and of ourselves, the more we need rescued. And at just the right time, a star appeared, a light shining in the darkness at the exact moment. Matthew 1, 20 to 22. I mean, you talk about hope. Joseph finds out Mary's pregnant, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Listen to this, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name," what? Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Give him the name Jesus. This is the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is God. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What is man's greatest need? To have a warm house, to have food to eat. Man's greatest need is what? To know Jesus, their Savior, to be rescued at that last moment from the executioner whose purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that Savior will have the name, or did I go the wrong way? Not Zorro, Jesus. If it wouldn't be for him, we would be lost. Every one of your relatives that died would be in hell for all of eternity. Every single person that ever came that lived on this earth would be in hell for all of eternity. And you, would you think you would have hope? What would you think every time you go to a funeral? Every time you go to a funeral, you'd think there's another person dead. I'm going to be next. I'm coming soon. I'm 60. I'm going to be dead in like 40 years. For sure. No hope. We buried an 8-day-old baby yesterday. Huge amount of hope. So we don't have to grieve like the rest of the world that has no hope. We have hope. Hope came into the world, and his name was Jesus. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. He is my Savior. He is your Savior. And I get so complacent with that sometimes, even as a pastor. And I forget to fan into flame my heart. So what I'm really asking you to do this season is let's fan into flame a little bit and understand that this isn't just a Sunday morning ritual thing. Forget what I was saying, doesn't matter. It's just this is truth from God's word. His perspective, they thought he was coming. But his perspective is so much bigger than our perspective. They thought he was coming to, wipe out the Romans. His gaze was set on a universal dilemma of sin. Jesus came not to take over countries, not to rule on the thrones of kingdoms of this world. He will rule on his throne someday. But he came to battle Satan and the cosmic powers, the evil darkness in this world. To deliver everyone who believes in him from the bondage of soul-deadening sin and welcome us into God's family. I read that. I didn't write that. I don't use words like cosmic. But it's so true. Jesus Christ was more not about making our life easy. Not about giving us all the things that we think we need, although he promises to supply all our needs according to his will, according to his riches and glory. But he came to rescue us from something that we forget we needed. Because we get so used to this life, we don't even say thank you anymore. I guarantee you, when that rope is cut, we're going to find Zorro and thank him. But after 20 or 30 more years of being free, we just kind of forget that. And us people that have been free from the consequences of sin, we forget to say thank you to God. We go to His birthday thinking about what we're going to get. We go to His birthday thinking about, I hope I got everybody everything they need. What about Him? I don't think you have to go out and buy gifts and put them on a hot air balloon and float them up to the sky, because, you know, it's just going to land in someone else's field. But to our prayers and our thankfulness, to live a life to God, to thank Him, to look, at least say, I've got to get excited about this year and put all that other stuff away, and I want my heart to look forward to the celebration of the coming of the Messiah. How are you going to do that? I don't know. But I think it comes to a change of our mind of just saying, you know what? I don't want to just be used to it this year. Jesus is our hope. I want to look forward and anticipate with expectancy my future because of His past accomplishments. He came to earth to die. And His past accomplishments of dying for my sins, the sins that I hadn't even committed at that point, the sins I haven't even committed yet, He died and paid the penalty for those sins so that I could have the hope of eternal life with God forever. Even though I physically die, yet shall I live. Because whoever lives and believes in Him shall never die. We have huge hope. So whoever put hope in the first day of the Advent season did a good job. Probably the Catholic Church, right? Look, they did one thing right. Well, maybe four things by the time we're done. I'm kidding. Maybe it was the Methodists. They haven't done anything right yet. Or the UCC. No, I'm just kidding. The Baptist Church. Let's talk about that. I was right. Anyway. I'm sorry. I'm in trouble with my daughter and all the different churches. We have hope. We look forward and anticipate with expectancy our future because of Jesus' past accomplishments. I think that should be enough. I think that should be enough. I'll check my time. Oh, it's almost is enough. Another description. So I want to look at some of the descriptions of Jesus in the Bible for the next couple weeks, okay? Some of the names and the descriptions of Jesus and His character. I'll look at one more this morning. Another description of the character of Jesus is He is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And He looked at Mary in her eyes and He said, do you believe this? He looks at Mary and He tells Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Or what's it say? He who believes in me will live even though they physically die. And whoever lives by believing in me, he will never die because our spirit will live forever. Our soul will live forever. And He looks at Mary and He says, do you believe this? And I think that's an amazing question that God asked. Do you believe? And I think we need to start there because if you don't believe that, you have no hope for your future. No hope. Because when you die, you will spend eternity separated from God because you do not believe in God. Not because you're a sinner, but I'm a sinner also. But you will die and spend eternity separated from God because you refuse to believe that Jesus died in your place. See, Jesus doesn't just send people to hell. People choose to go there because they choose not to believe. And this is an amazing thing. He is the resurrection and the life. So even when I die physically, I'm going to be alive. And someday my body is going to be made brand new again. But my soul, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. I love this. So because of that, because He's the resurrection, the hope that we have in 1 Corinthians 15:54-57, death has been swallowed up in victory. This feels like a funeral, okay? I'm not burying anybody today. This is exciting. Death for a believer has been swallowed up in victory. I can say this, where, O death, is your victory? Where I can look at Satan and say, you have no power over me. Not because I'm awesome, not because I'm the pastor, not because I do good things. You have no power over me because Jesus broke the chains that bound me to Satan. And you do not own me anymore. You have no rights to me. I am free. I can say, where, O death, or where, O Satan, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I can roll up my nose at him. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gave me victory through a tiny little baby, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And we can taunt death, and we do not have to fear death. You talk about hope. That is awesome hope. That's the hope that we're anticipating. I hope that if we could just feel a little bit about that this year, a little bit of the expectancy. I know it already happened. But if we could look forward to December 24th and 25th and this season and sing the Christmas songs, if we could just look forward to it and say, God, thank you. And review the things that he did for us. I think we forget to look at that. And we get so distracted. Satan is a defeated enemy. He has no power over us except the world's temptation to us. To look at stuff and get distracted. So he stands over on the side of our mind and says, look at me, woo. And we're so distracted from truth. We go through our life towards heaven, looking over to the side. Enough illustrations. Just ask God to stir your heart. You fan into flame that gift of God that's in you. That comes through the Holy Spirit. God himself is alive. And he was born in flesh and died in flesh for my sins. To separate me from the power of death who Satan ruled in my life until God cut that rope. And now I'm free. I can never be bound again, ever. I can have times of doubt. I can never be bound again, ever. Because God, those Jesus freed are free. Indeed. I really liked what you read up here about how unfaithful do I have to be till God stops being faithful to me. He can't stop being faithful to us. I think that should be enough to stir hope in us, expectancy. Yeah! Let's pray. God, you are an amazing God. I am so thankful for everything you've done for me. I studying this stuff and reading this stuff, Lord, it just renews in my mind again. I didn't deserve anything you gave me. Nothing. I fully deserve to be hung. I fully deserve to spend eternity separated from you in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. But God, you love me. You are the resurrection and the life. And I believe in you. And I will never die. My body will, but I will never die. Thank you for becoming at just the right time. Exactly the right time. The God-man, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you offer me. I pray that we might have joy in spite of the circumstances in our life. I want to look forward to Christmas with some expectancy, with some awe as what really happened. Not out of hype, just out of truth and reality and focusing on you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.